I would like to say this. Brother Rutledge said something a while ago about this. I told him last night after church, I said, I wish that all these folks that want the Holy Ghost would just sit down close to the front, or either you'd give me a long cord on one of these microphones. I felt that Holy Ghost power last night. I never was in a greater service. And I sat today. I've been absolutely paralyzed since last night. I went home and I just felt like something had happened. And today I was just sitting around the house and I told my wife, I said, you know, I've gone back over that whole message and I don't know of anything fantastic I preached. But there was one of the greatest spirits in this place last night that I have ever felt. I've just never seen anything like it. The glory of God came down, pressed us in the Spirit. We felt Him. Everybody here knew it. While I preached, even folks that didn't have the Holy Ghost were shaken under the Holy Ghost power. And I know that God was here last night to do something. I believe He's here tonight again to do the same thing. But I wish you'd take this as a suggestion that after tonight, if you really want the Holy Ghost, I wish you'd sit closer to the front. It may be that any minute. Now, I still believe in laying on of hands, don't you? I believe that. And I believe if the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, if I laid hands on you, it's liable to just jar you enough for you to just break out into the open and begin to speak in tongues, and the Spirit gave utterance. If you repented, fully repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, friend, you're a candidate for the Holy Ghost. You need it now, and you can get it any minute. Now, if you hadn't repented and hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name, I can't promise you anything. But I know what Peter said. If you repent and are baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And since I learned how to read Greek and Hebrew, I had to look that word up, but I think it means the same thing. Praise God. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you want the Holy Ghost, I believe the Lord wants to give it to you. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There are some important words in that passage of Scripture. I never have really understood this ninth verse. I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. But I think I understand it after getting into this and really studying it, letting the Lord inspire my heart. Hallelujah. And I see that more than anything, that the Holy Ghost is the only thing that will ever reveal any of the things that God has prepared to anybody. You can talk about heaven to a man that don't have the Holy Ghost. He doesn't get a dream. He doesn't really get a real vision of it, a real taste of it. You can talk about the things that are so freely given spiritually to men by the Holy Ghost. And a man that don't have the Holy Ghost doesn't understand that. It takes a man with the Holy Ghost to understand. You talk about speaking in tongues and somebody... I've seen folks that say, that's of the devil. And nowhere in the Bible did it ever say that it was of the devil. They can't prove that in 1,000 years. Out of 1,000 Bibles, they can't prove that the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues is of the devil. Right. Every place in the Scripture where it was ever mentioned, the Bible said that the Spirit gave utterance. Amen. Never did the devil speak in tongues. Hallelujah. So a man without the Holy Ghost, he's liable to say anything. And I'll tell you one thing. When you hear a man talk about the Holy Ghost and say it's of the devil, you know one thing. He's not of God, because the Scripture said no man speaking by the Holy Ghost calls God accursed. If you call God the devil, I'm afraid you're calling Him accursed. Amen? Well, I'm not too smart, but I think I understand that. Praise God. Now, He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Now, I can find persimmons on the ground. I'm like a possum. I love persimmons. Man, I like them. And I never ate a persimmon. I didn't bust a seed. Yes, see if that spoon in it. I have busted every persimmon seed I ever ate a persimmon out of, or off of. I can find persimmons on the ground. I can just about find anything else just laying out there, just, you know, like a persimmon is anyway. It's easy to find. Just about anybody can find. I believe a blind man can find a persimmon on the ground if you put him under the tree. Don't you? Amen. But there are some deep things that you don't just find just by going out there and looking. You can't look through the ground. You can't look through rocks. You can't look in the mud. And so it takes something else to search out those things that are deeper. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Church membership's easy to talk about. But when you talk about getting born again, it takes something deeper than a seminary title or a degree. Hallelujah. You've got to have something different than that. You can read the Bible, and anybody can read John 3:16 and say, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But it's hard for you to see that that God that gave that Son was the same God, amen, that these two are one, praise God. I'm going to even get worse than that on arithmetic with you. The Bible said in 1 John 5:7, these three are one. You don't understand that with a carnal mind. You got to have the Spirit of the Lord, and then the Spirit of the Lord opens it up. Billy Graham was trying to explain the Trinity. He said, well, somebody asked him, said, explain the Trinity. He said, you don't explain the Trinity, you just believe that. And Brother Millard Shields was telling me the other day that he saw in an old manuscript somewhere, he saw where one of the earliest groups of people after Pentecost and especially after the merger, you know what I'm talking about, after everybody went into this world church, they call it, and just left that little isolated group of Pentecostals out there by themselves, said that they found in those writings a statement on the Trinity and said the Trinity could not be explained. It just had to be accepted. Well, I'm not that silly. I'm not going to accept the Trinity when I see Philip saying. Now, Philip was a doubter like Thomas was. And when I see Philip saying, Lord, you show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and you don't know me? When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Praise God. And I saw a calendar not long ago, had an old gray-headed man up there in a window of clouds looking down like this. And down in the water there was this 30-year-old man, that was Jesus. And up between them, Jesus and this man up in the sky, there was a dove. And I knew who painted that picture. It was a carnal man, somebody who'd never been on his knees to pray and be filled with the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost wouldn't lead a man into believing that the Holy Ghost was a dove. Or had the body like one, amen. Or that God was an individual sitting up there in a window of clouds in the heavens, and that Jesus was just a hulk in the world. I want you to know, friend, that God is a spirit and He feels everything. Praise God. And that place was only the tabernacle that He dwelt in while He was on this earth. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost tonight. Or I couldn't understand all this deep preaching. You're worried about if I lost you, you better pray through tonight. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, I won't say that, but I might lose you. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received. You know why we receive? So we can know the things of God. Because like a man, we don't know the things of God. But the Lord said, you go back to Jerusalem and you tarry there until you're endued with power from on high. Now, what was that power going to be? Jesus said, I'm going to pray the Father that He will send you another Comforter. Jesus said, I'm with you now, but I'm going to be in you. Now, you just go ahead and read all those scriptures in St. John 14:16-17. And when you get done, you're going to know that the Holy Ghost is Jesus. And I'm going to prove something to you. If you think that they're trying to keep chairs warm in glory, I think you're off base a little bit. Why did Jesus say, it's expedient for you that I go away? If there were three, there could have been two of them in the earth just as easy as there could have been one of them. And two in heaven. Say amen. But Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. Praise God. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Praise God. And that power, in fact is, I want you to know that power was nothing more or nothing less than my God taking up His abode in our lives. And he said, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and then I want you to preach this gospel everywhere to every creature, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now, the reason they got the Holy Ghost before they went in the world is because up to then they could not understand the deep things of God. They needed a searcher. They needed something that knew what God was. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which the world teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's like a man looking through a telescope, looking out at the stars. Man, I can just nearly about drive down the road and find the little dipper and the big dipper. I'm just that good. I'm good. But they tell me there's stars out there I've never seen. And there's stars out there some of these fellows, some of these high-priced telescopes never saw. The 11th, 12th, and 13th of this month, from midnight till dawn, I think I'm going to stay up and look and see some stars I never saw before. Amen. They say there's supposed to be billions of stars just falling like rain all over the world on the nights of the 11th, 12th, and the 13th, from midnight till dawn. I'd like to see them. I'd just like to look out there and see something I've never been able to see with my naked eye. But, you know, I'm standing there looking. Here's a guy beside me, got a little bit of telescope looking. He's seeing farther than I am. There's another guy over there with one of them great big ones. He's seeing a lot farther. But out yonder in an observatory somewhere with a telescope so big it had to have a huge building, has to be run by huge machines and belts and pulleys. There's a fellow over there and he's looking and he's excited. Man, he's documenting stuff that you ain't never dreamed was out yonder. Praise God. He can see stuff that we've never laid our eyes on. Now the Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of God, but for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. You'd think we'd be smarter than we are, having the mind of Christ. If we'd exercise the Holy Ghost within us, if we'd let God talk to us in our own private meditations, if we'd spend as much time thinking on spiritual things, getting in this Word, praying and seeking God, letting our minds run the gamut in these Scriptures, friend, we'd be brilliant people as far as the Scriptures concerned. But some of us can't quote Acts 2:38 without stumbling and can't find it in your own Bible simply because you never exercise yourself unto godliness in those matters. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we have the mind of Christ. Let me read you another verse of Scripture. I've got a lot of Scriptures to read tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. 1 Peter 2 and 2, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Do you know why that Christians don't run to the same excess of the world? Because Jesus' steps didn't go that far. And he left us an example that we should follow his steps. And that's why when you're out there in the world, you're not even worried about it. But all of a sudden you become conscious of it as your heart is smitten with convicting power, as the Holy Ghost comes in and presses its way upon your life. And then you repent of your sins and get baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then that Spirit begins to teach you things you never knew before. And it tells you where to put your feet. And it tells you just how far to go. And your friends say, what about old Jim? He doesn't run with us now to the same excess of right that he used to. I'll tell you why. Because I'm walking in another man's footsteps and his feet did not go in sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Lord, I'm glad tonight that I'm walking in the footsteps of my Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Or even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. No man knows how to walk with God until he got that Spirit. You know, in this service tonight, there's a precious young lady that I have. You don't think about an evangelist noticing things in the church, but I do pick up a lot of traits of people. I realize that they're different. There are some that worship and there are others that don't. And while I was preaching, I recognize the fact that this young lady was not responding to the whole service like she ought to. What had happened in her experience was that she had simply begun to listen to the wrong voice. She had got out of step with God and was going another direction. But I heard this afterward, that one night she just asked her friends if she could go in and talk after fellowship and church. And she went into their house, and they began to talk about what a great service, and she began to just pour her heart out. And she said, "You know, I'm not really where I ought to be. And I want to be so bad. I'm not doing anything. I'm not in the world. I'm not doing anything out there. But I've just got out of touch with the service. How to sing, how to worship, how to pray, how to respond. I'm just out of touch." And she said, "I want to get back in so bad." And they just said, "Why didn't you tell us?" She said, "I hope that you folks would know. But anyway, I want you to pray for me." The next night, when the service was over and the altar call was given, that young lady came down to pray. Her friends gathered around her. And slowly but surely, about 2 hours of it, they slowly guided her back into the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. I watched something happen to that person. Her expressions changed, and she became one of the most beautiful girls in that church as the Holy Ghost began to lighten her face and began to just express itself all over her. And I realized that this is it, friend. We need to hear another drummer. We need to walk in the steps of the King. Hallelujah. And when he came here, and when he walked, he was not listening to the course of the world, nor the prince of the air, but he had another beat in his ears, and he didn't listen to anything else. And that's why he told his disciples one day at the well of Jacob, he said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of," simply because he was not so worldly. Hallelujah. Glory. I want to preach tonight. Another drummer. Anybody can walk like the world walks. God realized this way back in the scripture. And he told his people, he said, "When you get over there, don't you start looking around the way they used to do after I destroyed them. Don't you look around the way they did and say, 'We want to do like that.'" He said, "Don't you run with them. You be different when you get over there." And he had maintained that all through the wilderness. He didn't want them to be like everybody else. He didn't want them mingling and acting like everybody else. Come time to get a king, they said, "We want a king because we want to be like other folks." It's easy to go that direction. All the time the Lord was telling us, you separate yourself. Come back out of that world and don't be like them, but be a different kind of people. What he was saying was, is that God has never been humanity as such. He's never lived like that. When he came here, he came to set humanity straight. He didn't come to go along with the tide. He didn't come to fall into the clutches of the same lust that man had the problem. He came to get victory over all that. And as he did, he was going to show us the way to walk. And so here we are now. Let us just suppose that we are all on our way to a heavenly city. If you're going to get there, I believe, according to the Scripture, you're going to have to walk just like Jesus walked. And the Bible said he left us an example that we should follow his steps. And his steps were not made to the beat of a jungle beat. Praise God. Hallelujah. His steps and the prints of his feet were not made to the beat of some a worldly religion out yonder. It was different altogether. Praise God. And he demands that we walk the way that he walked. You see, God, I don't know how it happened to old Abraham. He's just living down there in Ur of the Chaldees and probably getting along well, doing mighty good, seems like. And one morning he woke up and there was a pounding in his ears. Doom, doom, doom. It's a distant drum. Praise God. And he says, "I don't know what that is," but he's got to rationalize some things. And then he comes to the conclusion, this is spiritual. This is not just normal. This is not natural. I'm happy. Everything's all right. But he feels like he's got to get out of Ur of the Chaldees because the Holy Ghost is calling him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he gets up and gets all of his things together. And he says goodbye to mama and goodbye to daddy and goodbye to brothers and friends. And Lot said, "I want to go with you." He said, "If you want to go, if you can take it, you come on." Praise God. Oh, let me tell you something. He was hearing the sound of a distant drum. And then the writer of the Hebrews began to talk about it. He said, "Abraham went out not knowing whither he went, but he was listening to something out yonder that said, 'Abraham, this way, this way.'" And Abraham set his tent up, and in the morning, he'd think this is going to be it. He'd think, "Next week I'm going to start cutting timbers, and we're going to build us a big, beautiful home here." And he'd wake up the next morning, doom, 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 doom. Said, "Abraham, we're going this way."
He said, all right, Lord. And the scripture said he wandered out there. He didn't have no certain dwelling place. He just kept going. He'd put his old tent up tonight. Tomorrow he'd move it. And the next day he'd set it down someplace else. He'd get in a lush valley and he'd think, boy, this is it. And the next day he'd be on a barren mountainside somewhere. And then it was just always move, always move. When it came time to take his choice, he said, Lot, we're going to have to separate, brother. And Lot looked out. He didn't hear nothing. Lot didn't hear nothing. He was just trying to identify with the church. He was trying to be like the Christians without ever having that experience. He was not in touch himself. And when Lot looked out, he looked for real estate while Abraham was looking for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker was God. Hallelujah. And Abraham said, Lot, take your pick. Hallelujah. And old Lot was looking. He was looking at the fertile valleys of Sodom down there. And he said, I want to take this place. And Abraham said, well and good. Go that way. And I want you to know that when Abraham walked, friend, he was walking to the step of another drummer. Lot went right down there and moved right into the city and bought him a house and settled down and got everything just like a man wanted. And Abraham just kept pulling up his tent. God began to talk to him and said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. He began to talk about how old he was, how old Sarah was. We just don't know, Lord. He said, I'm going to give you a son. I want you to look at the stars. You see how many there are? I'm going to give you a seed like the stars of the heaven. Could you number the sand of the sea, Abraham? No, Lord. He said, I'm going to give you seed like the sand of the seaside. Oh, Lord. Are you going to do all this for me? And the Lord said, I am. And one day, Sarah said, Abraham, I believe it's truth. I think I'm going to have a baby. Praise God. She said, I sure am old to be mama, but I believe I'm going to have a baby. And one day old Isaac cried for the first time in the household of Abraham. That old man, brother, he'd walk around, he'd say, say, fellas, you ain't going to believe it, but me and Sarah's got us a boy. Praise God. I wish I'd have had him back when I was just a kid and me and him could have played together. I could have built him a treehouse, but nevertheless, I got him and God's going to take care of him. And one day, Abraham woke up and he heard that drum beating. It was a distant drum. It was not the normal run-of-the-mill drum. And he said, Lord, what is it this time? And he said, I want you to go to a place where I show you. Nobody else is going to know how to do anything like this but God. He goes before us. He maps out this thing. I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. And when you get there, I want you, and God was specific in this, I want you to offer Isaac, your son, your only son. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Out beside the road that Abraham had walked so long, there was another common drummer. He beat another beat. But Abraham couldn't hear him. He couldn't even listen, in fact. He had stayed with this other drum beat so long. It's just normal. It's natural for him. He has committed himself to God. And there's no turning back now. And that other fellow over there beating, he said, Abraham, it's easier over here. It's not near as many restrictions on this side of the fence if you'll just come over here and march with my little group. But oh, Abraham said, no. He said, the reason I've got respect and to the recompense of reward. Someday, I'm going to meet that Lord out yonder that's playing that other drum. And I want to walk just like he wants me to walk. I want to say just what he wants me to say. I want to do just what he wants me to do and be just what he wants me to be. I'm not interested. Brother, he marched right to the top of Mount Moriah, to that place that the Lord showed him. He said, right here. And he began to build up his altar. He built it up and he strapped or laid Isaac on there. Somebody said Isaac was so committed to it that he just lay down. Dad, if God said it, do it. If God told you to do this, I'm willing. Oh, that's beautiful. I imagine that Isaac was in step with that drummer too. But whether he had to strap him on there, the fight might have broken his heart if he had to. But he finally got him on the altar. And then he raised up the knife just like that. Praise God. But in his heart there was that wonderful consolation that God will provide himself a lamb. Is that what the Bible said? It didn't say a sacrifice. It said God will provide himself a lamb. Praise God. And all the time that other drummer's beating and he won't let up. He just kept on saying, Abraham, this way. This way. This is what I want you to do. Abraham had the knife raised to bring it down to kill his son. And the Lord stayed his hand. I don't think Abraham ever stopped. I think as long as that drum played, old Abraham walked. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just took every step. It's hard for me to understand things like that, really. It's kind of like treasure locators. I got a friend over in Corinth, Mississippi. He just been over, he bought him one, paid about $169 for a white treasure locator. He puts a headset on. He told me, he said, "Preacher, if you're going to buy one, don't buy a $29.95 one." He said, "You're wasting your money." He said, "Get you one that'll distinguish between the bottle caps and the real stuff." He said, "Don't, if you go out there, don't go with a big crowd unless you're going to wear a headset." He said, "If you're going to wear earphones, that's all right." You know why that is? Because you've got a machine here that's telling you where the treasure is. And if you're listening to somebody out there playing a game of baseball, you'd love to be looking out that way. He said, "Put that headset on and get out there and don't listen to nothing." He said, "When that thing makes that beep, you know where it beeped." I said, "Do you really find anything, Jerry?" He said, "Come down to my house one day. I want to show you." And of course, I'm a buff and stuff like this. I like to see it. I went down there, and he had many balls. Those shot out of the Civil War. He found 1,800 of them in one little hole in the ground with that thing. He's walking along out there where many a man had been over looking for stuff, and old Jerry was walking along there with that headset on, and all of a sudden something go peep, peep. Beep, 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 beep. Ha, 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 something's down there. He's got a little fold-up shovel. He just went to unstrapping that thing, got it down there and dug. I said, "How hard did you dig?" He said, "About 3 feet." He said, "I dug about 3 feet, and there lay 1,800 mini balls worth no telling how much." He's found belt buckles with bullet holes through them from the Civil War. Pray. Let me tell you something, friend. I enjoy that, but this is giving me the thought now. You know, a lot of people don't understand what we're even doing. They don't hear what we're hearing. They hear everybody screaming at the ball game. They hear this fellow on the radio or the television preaching some old watered-down gospel, and we're listening to another voice, and it leads us a totally different direction. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't just walk into this blinded. I believe something's got to lead you here. You've got to open up your ears to God. Nothing else, nothing less, nothing more. You've got to hear God. Amen. It's time that some of us heard from God. Praise the Lord. It happened to old Saul, didn't it? Praise God. He just went just like everybody else. He had already been schooled in church. Gamaliel had taught him everything about the law there was to know. He was a devoted student. He listened to everything. He said the Pharisees, "I was a Pharisee of the strictest order." He was a Pharisee's Pharisee. Woo! Hallelujah. He was churchified. He had it. He got to the point that he thinks he's doing God glory by killing folks. When they was killing old Stephen. And I could preach an hour on Stephen about this here new drummer, this different drummer. They're stoning Stephen, and old Saul was standing there holding his clothes in his hand, saying, "Lay it to him, lay it to him. Come on, let's do it for the kingdom of God." And boy, they was knocking his head off, and finally he gave up the ghost, and Saul gave his clothes away, and he was so inspired by this, he went down and got him some papers from Caligula, and he said, "I want to go and beat, bind, put in prison, kill everybody that's called on this name." And he started down that road, and all of a sudden on the road to Damascus, that other drummer intercepted him. Praise God. Paul was walking along, he's listening to that drummer that's taking everybody that follows him on a death march to hell. I'm preaching too fast. Whew. I got a lot to say, and I want to get through tonight. I ain't too good preaching these two-part sermons. First part tonight, and second part tomorrow night. I want to preach it all tonight. Hallelujah. Fell down the road to Damascus. And he heard that drummer for the first time. And he started saying, "What would you have me to do?" And the Lord said, "Just walk where you hear that drum leading you. Walk in my steps." He said, "Lord, but that's going to be Jesus' name baptism." He said, "Walk there. Praise God. That's going to be tongue talking and Holy Ghost. Walk there." Hallelujah. And Paul said, "What do you want me to do?" And he said, "Go to Damascus to the street called Straight. That's where the drum's going to lead you first." And the drum just went off down the road playing, just beating along. I wish I could play a drum. Man, I'd beat this thing all the way through this sermon. And I, doom, doom, doom. Here we go. And Saul went right to the street called Straight in Damascus. And he said, "Now what do you want me to do?" And he said, "Just spend a little time praying over it, Brother Saul." Man, first thing you know, here come old Ananias in the front door with a message. He's the next sound of the drum. Ananias walked through the front door. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus." Now, wait a minute. If you wonder who the Lord is, Ananias done settled that for me. He said, "The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to you in the way, hath appeared to me also, and said for me to come over here and lay my hands on you, that you might receive your sight." Praise God. And the Holy Ghost. Did he say that? The Holy Ghost in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts of the Apostles. "You might receive your sight and the Holy Ghost." And he laid his hands on him, and I believe he prayed for him in Jesus' name. And as he prayed, the scripture said there fell from his eyes as it were scales. Hey, I'm going to use a little logic on you. Do you believe that the Lord would have healed the man he said he was going to heal? And not have filled him with the Holy Ghost? No, you believe he'd have given the Holy Ghost, don't you? Sure you do. I believe right then and there, old Paul, he'd already spent 3 days repenting and getting right with God. I believe right then and there, he began to speak in other tongues and the Spirit gave utterance. And Ananias said, "Hey, Paul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be sprinkled." Oh, well, you let me preach now. "Arise and be baptized." Somebody said they followed the Lord, said they had 100 got saved, and 2 followed the Lord in baptism. Hey, the Bible said that the like figure, whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience to God. Now let me tell you something. If you believe that you can be saved without baptism, you don't believe that book. Praise God. And he said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins." You know what somebody told us the other day baptism was for? Church membership. Read that to me out of that book. Man, that ain't in there. No, it ain't no such thing in there about baptism being for church membership. It said washing away your sins. That's what it's for. Calling on the name of the Lord. And the Church of Christ said you didn't have to say nothing. Oh, yes, you do. You got to call Jesus' name over a man. And he's got to call on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. Wait a minute. That puts old Paul in a precarious position, doesn't it? He's been beaten, binding, putting in prison everybody that called on the name of the Lord. And now Ananias said, "You call on Jesus' name." And he said, "Jesus, do it again. Jesus, 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 Jesus. No greater name." Hallelujah. You heard that song Sister Muncie wrote. "By what name do we know the Son? By what name does the Holy Spirit come? By what name do we know the Almighty One? Only by the name of Jesus. Oh, precious name." Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, friend. There is no other name of the Lord but Jesus. Amen. But you can't hear that unless you hear that other drummer. My Lord, you will never know who the Father is until you hear that other drummer. And he'll lead you right into it. The Bible said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if any man come preaching any other gospel, you just listen to the wrong drummer. If he tells you anything you can be saved by except repentance, water, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost and a holy life, you better write him off as bad news and go ahead and believe the gospel. Hallelujah. And so, Brother Paul got into the church. Got his fellowship card and everything. Man, he was in business. He'd go evangelizing now. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got a fellowship card. Praise God. But I got fellowship without the card. Thank God. That's right. So he got to go into their meetings. They even let him get on the platform once in a while. He got over to one of their meetings one time. He was sitting there. I don't know whether he's going to have the floor or who, but after a while, old Agabus. Wasn't it Agabus got up? Wasn't it Agabus? Yeah, I believe it was. That's all right. I'll change it after a while. Agabus, whoever you say. He got up. And he held up a belt that belonged to Paul. He knew who it belonged to. Spirit was moving him. He's listening to that other drummer too. And he said, "The man to whom this girdle belongs, if he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be bound." Paul reached up and claimed that thing, and he turned around to all his brethren, and he said, "Brethren, I'm not only ready to be bound at Jerusalem, but I'm ready to die for the name of Jesus over there." He said, the Holy Ghost beareth witness that in every city, bonds and afflictions wait me. He said, "I'm fixing to go to another city right now." He said, "I've had so many rocks thrown at my head, I feel like a target." He said, "But I ain't worried about nothing." You know why he wasn't? It's simply because the man was listening to another drummer, and that other drummer didn't beat. You know what? If nowadays people don't think you're really a real preacher unless you got a Cadillac with a swivel seat in the front. And a button you can punch to throw you out on the sidewalk when you get to your church. People always laugh when I say that. I got that in another sermon I preached too. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all probably thought that's the first time I ever thought of that, didn't you? Well, Paul never had no Cadillac. I told Brother Rutledge a while ago when he got my suit, I said, "Turn that label inside. I don't want anybody to know it's a J.C. Penney suit." $29.34. I told you that before, didn't I? That's all right. It wears good. Poor Brother Paul, he didn't even have a donkey to ride. And he'd go into town and preach. And when he'd get through preaching, they'd stone him, whip him. And he'd get out and shake dust off his clothes. Head off somewhere else. 45 miles just to walk. And somebody said, "Where are you going, fella?" He said, "Wherever that drum beat stops, that's where I'm going." Praise God. When that drum beat sets up camp, I'm going to set up camp. And they'd carry him over to Iconium, and he'd walk into the city square, and he'd get right in the middle of that city, and he'd start preaching. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Hey, hallelujah. One Spirit. Praise God. He preached it right down the line. And Jews would travel 100 miles just to get there to whoop him. They'd come from one meeting to the next. He had a following. I thought about these young folks from Hot Springs and Brother and Sister Fry coming over tonight. I said, my goodness, wouldn't that be nice if all the folks that followed you were your friends? Paul wasn't that way. He didn't have no caravans coming to bring no choir. When he looked up, he seen the same old arrogant Jews he saw over at Lystra. He said, you devils, you come over here to whoop me. You may as well get out, get you bounce out. And I'm going to preach. And he'd preach and preach and preach. And all the time he was preaching, they were stirring up strife. But he was listening to another drummer. And the devil would say, you better not preach baptism, preacher. Uh-huh. I'll never forget one night up in Corbin, Kentucky, I was preaching. And I was scared to death of them hillbillies anyhow. Us swamp rats hate them hillbillies. Man, all I'd ever seen about a hillbilly was an old black slouch hat coming down over their eyeballs, you know. And I thought they was moonshiners and carried big double-barrel shotguns and didn't care to use them. And I was preaching up in Corbin, and one night, big old fella came in, and you wouldn't believe he was just exactly what I thought a hillbilly looked like. He had that old black hat on. He pulled it off just as he walked through the door. Old black hat, come in and sit down. He stared at me all during church. Man, I got to preaching on snuff and whiskey. I preached on everything. I even preached on corn patches that night because I make whiskey out of corn up there. I preached on him tobacco fields. I got on everything I could get on. Man, that's back when I didn't have no sense. I got on everything you could get on. He just sat there and stared at me. Well, praise the Lord. I know them folks not getting mad leaving. They just leaving. Oh, you going to be? Okay, she said she'd be back, folks. I shouldn't have said that. Praise God. I preached as hard as I could. That old boy sat there and looked at me. Oh, he could look mean. I ain't looking half mean what he was. Like that. I mean, he didn't give me hardly time to get out of the pulpit that night. He started up the aisle. Here he come. I thought, Lord have mercy. I could just see him big old hands just getting me by the neck. Say, hey, boy, I don't like what you said. I was scared. He walked up to me. Walked over. Got up. I wasn't going up north. They don't let nobody but saints come on the platforms. I think that ought to be a good law down here in the south. He walked up toward the platform and he said, I got all the jelly together in my knees, got it all moving the same way, and went over where he was at. He reached out his big old hand. He said, I like that preaching. I thought he was going to whoop me. I was going to have some stories to tell when I left. Man, that would have made good preaching if he had whooped me, but he didn't. He just shook my hand, patted me on the back, said it's all right. But don't you know that Paul felt bad every time, everywhere he went, he knew that somebody's going to get it in for him and whoop him, put him in prison, leave him for dead. They didn't respect him a bit. There wasn't no Holiday Inn marquees out saying, welcome, Brother Paul, in this apostolic crusade, apostolic action conference. There wasn't nothing there but some fellow with big rocks in their hand. Say, preach that one God, and we're going to throw rocks at you. He said, none of this moves me. None of this moves me. But I'll tell you what did move him. When the Holy Ghost wanted him to go to Macedonia. He said, I was stirred in my spirit when I came to Troas because I couldn't find my brother Titus, I believe. I couldn't find him. I was stirred in my spirit. He said, but what really got to me was when I saw the hand of that man over in Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And Paul said, I'll go. Praise God. Praise God. And he went right into the empire of heathenism. And he began to preach the message that is directly in contrast to heathenism. He preached one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Holiness, holiness, holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. That old gal got to follow him along every day. She'd come down, she'd follow him. She'd say, these men be the God, be servants of the Most High God that have come here among us. And she followed him to the place of prayer every day, him and old Silas. Finally, one day, he was pressed and he couldn't take it anymore. He turned around and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her, you devil. And brother, she got rid of that devil right just like that. And they didn't like it, so they came, beat him up, put him in prison, set him out there, and thought they thought he'd rot there in that prison. They thought he'd beg forgiveness, go back, put the devil back in the girl, and put her back in business. But I want to tell you one thing, friend. They beat him so bad, and they put him in stocks and bonds, and set him out there in the middle of that old cold, wet prison. And about midnight, he said, Brother Silas, I sure do feel the Holy Ghost moving. Silas said, me too. You know, you'd think after getting beat up like that, you wouldn't feel like nothing. Just feel like backsliding, spitting, cussing, vomiting, and go home. He said, I sure do feel good. Praise God. I feel something. And Paul said, let's pray. Amen. First of all, they prayed. And they did. I imagine they did some praying. And then he said, let's sing. Woo! What are we going to sing, Paul? He said, I don't know. He made the difference. That's a good. I don't know that too well, though. Let me think of a good one. I don't know no good one right now. They just got to sing it. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Jesus on the main line. That's a good one. Praise God. Jesus on the main line. They just got to sing it. First thing you know, brother, the Holy Ghost began to move. That jailhouse began to do the first jailhouse rock. Praise God. That thing began to reel and rock. The stocks and the bonds came off, and Paul just kind of relaxed and began to wipe his wrist where that old thing was already rusted on him, and the jailer came running in. He thought he's really going to put them all in order. When he got in there, the jailhouse doors had broke down. Can't stop the doors. His sword ain't wide enough to close up the gap. So he just stands there and he says, my goodness, I think I just have to kill myself. And he started to kill himself. And Paul said, hold on, hold on. Don't do yourself no harm. Everybody's still here. You know why they were? Because they was listening to the sound of another drummer. He wouldn't even break the law. He wouldn't even break the law. Amen. He said, well, what are we going to do? He said, give me the hospital right now. I want to go to the hospital and lay up on my insurance on my Blue Cross Blue Shield for a while. I know it. He said, hallelujah. He said, wash these wounds a little bit. Pour in some Acuracrom. We're fixing to have service. We're fixing to have church. Praise God. That old jailer said, what you want me to do? He said, the same thing I had to do, boy. You got to get baptized in Jesus' name. You mean tonight? I mean tonight. And they went and had a little supper and got their wounds all washed, and then Paul waded out in the water. I don't know where they found it, what it was like. I've seen my daddy wade around the old bio mason down home. I've seen him wade around water that deep, and all of a sudden he started easing off. He'd get off an old sandbar and he'd get out like this, and then he'd stand up there and preach about an hour, and he said, all right, all of you that want to get baptized, come on. I can see Paul wading around till he found a good spot where he could get the fat ones and the little ones and the tall ones and everybody in without drowning the little ones and not losing the big ones. And he got them all out there in the water, and he said, now we're going to have a big baptizing, the first one in Philippi of Macedonia, and we're going to do it right. We're going to baptize you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you hear that sound of that other drummer? Praise God. It's just not like the world. The world simply says, well, since it's midnight, a little after, I'll tell you what we'll do. You folks just sign this little card right here, and we'll put you on our mailing list and just write down what you think you can give the church every year. And I think that'll fix it all up. Oh, yeah, and by the way, would you shake my hand and make a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ? That's the way the world goes. But the preachers that still preach the truth and still hear the drummer, the other drummer, they still preach repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I hope you liked what I just said, because that's the truth. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, let me hear the sound of that other drummer. A long-haired boy walking the streets of Winsboro, Louisiana, not a big town. Long hairs are noticed, especially dope heads. They're noticed. It's just a little town. A lot of Pentecostal folks in that area. And everybody watched old Gary. Tall boy. He was an English boy. He had a pretty much an accent. Just walked the streets. One day somebody walked up to him and said, why don't you come to our church? He asked him some dumb questions. But he showed up one night. He came walking in. Sat down. The preacher preached. And I'll just say this for the old-timers. An old-time preacher preached. Long-winded old-timer preached. And Gary got up and went to the altar. Repented of his sins. Received the Holy Ghost. Got baptized in Jesus' name. And then all those kids have been raised in that Pentecostal church. He rose head and shoulders above them in his devotion to God. Son, he didn't let no grass grow under his feet. He went everywhere he could, getting everybody to come to church he could. He got young people to come to that church. He went out to the old folks. I've seen Gary go into those houses, the housing project, go in where old folks don't have nobody even visit them. I'll tell you, old folks that for hours in the darkness stood waist deep in water when the water flooded them year before last. Didn't have nobody even come look after them. Stand around them houses, snakes all over the place. And those old folks didn't have nobody even take care of them. Gary goes where nobody else wants to go. Into those houses, walks into somebody that can't hardly even get out of bed, helps them with their housework, and then says, let me pray for you. Gets down on his knees and prays with them, and I mean touches God. He got him a job. He got him a job driving a gas truck, hauling just regular auto gas. He went to the church every day at noon. He went to church. But this particular day, he's fasting. Been fasting all day. And at noon, he went to the church house. He prayed his hour. Got back in his gas truck. Made another delivery or so. And then went back to the bulk plant. A man working with a Southern Bell telephone caught him running down the road. Just a human torch. Walled him in the ditch and got the flame out and then put him in the truck and carried him just, maybe 2 blocks to the hospital. The hospital is just beyond the church, too. Carried him to the hospital. My sister was in emergency the day they brought him in. They brought that boy in. His clothes had burned to him and off of him. His body fluids were just running out. He couldn't even stand to touch it. He was just holding his arms out like this, and the body fluid just running out of him. He was laying on that emergency table, and a man walked in there and looked at him. He said, "You know, I know that boy." And Gary was listening to him. In all this pain, ferocious pain. Listen, after the doctors looked at him, they said he won't live till dark. He was burned all to pieces. They said his lungs were seared. Just like you'd roast a rabbit or something, just seared. His eyes were burned so bad. And there he lay, his arms stretched out. My sister and all of them just standing there watching him until the doctor could work with him. And this man walked in, Mr. Chapman walked in, and he was talking to those ladies standing around. He said, "I know that boy." He said, "He's always after me to go to his church." And Gary heard him. And in all that pain, Gary said, "Will you go now? Will you go to church with me now?" Everybody in that room broke down and went to crying because here's a man that don't walk like everybody else. He's not worried about, is my face going to be scarred? Will I ever see again? He said, "Sir, will you go to our church now?" Oh, God, for men who think about Him, who think about the Lord. The doctors at Winsboro looked him over. He's just a small town, small hospital, understaffed, no equipment. They looked him over and they said, "We can't do anything, just get him to Monroe." And they carried him to St. Francis in Monroe and had specialists there. The specialist told his pastor and assistant pastor, all the saints, and the friend, "If you get in trouble in that town, you can just rest assured you'll have a watchdogs night and day. They stay with you. They don't let you down." And they were around him 100%. Gangs of them around that hospital. They just near about had to have police directing traffic for the Pentecostal folks who were at, because everybody knew him. Everybody knew him. And his dad was an alcoholic, and his dad was walking the halls, and the doctors had already said, "We can't do anything for him." And his dad was walking the halls saying, "Where is that God this boy talks about? I'll tell you where he was. He was in Gary's heart." Yes, sir. And he was talking to Gary in a language nobody else could talk to him. He was saying, "Gary, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Though your friends forsake you, I'm with you 100%. Praise God. Just walk with me, Gary. Just walk where my feet have walked." They transferred him to the burn center in Baton Rouge. They wrapped him up. Young people with every spare minute they got, they'd get off work in the evening on Monday and they'd drive down there and drive back, taking shifts, sleeping and driving. Just to go, just to let Gary, just for them to know that he had heard their voice. "Gary, we're with you." And he lay there in that world of isolation, day in and day out. Finally, they uncovered part of him, and sticking out was eyes that just nothing but pus, just old piled up pus. You couldn't keep it cleaned off. Fluid still running out. And one day, his assistant pastor, Brother Floyd Hawthorne, walked into that room. Gary was laying there, couldn't see him, just talking. Brother Hawthorne said, "Gary, how are you?" He said, "They say I'm a lot better, Brother Floyd. Say I'm going to do all right." He said, "How you been, Brother Floyd?" Brother Floyd said, I've got trouble. I've got a bad stomach problem." Gary said, "You want me to pray for you?" I went there to preach last November. The pastor was then showing me around the church. Their auditorium don't have any windows in it. It's real dark in there in the daytime. We was in a vestibule and you could see a bit. I reached to get a hold of the door to walk into the auditorium. And there stood this thing, this creature. Nothing but just a little bit of a nose sticking out. A little bit of a mouth and two eyes just peeping out. He said, I'm sorry. He knew he'd frighten me probably because of coming out of the dark like that. I didn't know. I had never seen him. He said, "I'm sorry." He went to pulling this thing off and he said, "I have to wear that so my skin won't draw so bad and draw me with my neck down to my chest." He said, "I have to wear this. I'm sorry. I don't do it any more than I have to." And I didn't know anybody else was here. He said, "I just was over here to pray." And he eased on away from me. Now, scars all over his face. Those young people don't act like he's any different than he was. I was there two nights. I had that brand new van. He walked up to me. He said, I believe I could fill that van if I had it tonight. I reached in my pocket and pulled out the keys. I said, take it. Get them. Man, here they come. Long hairs. People with homes broken up. He'd introduce them to me just like this. His kids, he's so proud of me. Just talk about them. I'd be over there in the daytime and I'd hear him praying. And then I'd hear him on the phone. He'd say, well, Sister Smith, I'm sorry, but I just had so much to do and I was missing my prayer hour. And I'll be there just as soon as I can. He said, I'll be there and I'll sure pick you up for church tonight. I watched him burn to pieces. And the Holy Ghost get to moving. He's still stiff. He can't move his arms or legs like he ought to. And he's a real tall boy. And he just looks a little bit strange. You know, the way he's been burned and all his hair is pretty well gone. Just kind of growing back in little curly streaks. Holy Ghost get to moving. And he looks like a scarecrow going around that church. He throws his hands out like this and around that church he goes. Woo! Hallelujah. Just shout and love God. Oh. I sit there and watch him. Not just me, but other people come. And they say, ain't that that boy that they said would never live? That's him. That's him, but he's living, praise God. He's living and he's still working for God. And he still loves God with all his soul. And I wonder if his daddy still says, where is that God? All I can tell him is he's out yonder somewhere playing a drum that Gary hears him plain as day. And that's the way Gary's gone. It's not entered the heart of man what God's prepared for us. But I hear that drum saying over here, there's rest from your labors. Hallelujah. I hear we got beautiful music in this earth, but I hear the harps harping on their harps over yonder. Amen. It's never even been dreamed of what God's got prepared for us. A city that when you look at it, it's full of jewels so rare. A street of transparent gold and a throne in the midst of it, praise God. And on that throne, the Lamb of God's there. It don't need any lights because the Lamb is the light, praise God. And someday, if I follow that drummer, I'm going to go there. Hallelujah. Glory. Put your hands up and love him, everybody. I want the musicians to come. I want to be dedicated to this cause. I want to hear that other drummer. But it's so easy to get sidetracked. Because that other one never lets up. Constantly drums. Makes as much racket as you can and tries to drown out the drummer that's leading to life everlasting. This other one's got all the other things going for him because the biggest crowd's going that direction. The Bible said many there be that go in thereat. He promises you all kind of things along the way. His music, his poetry, his preaching, his dramatics. It's all tantalizing to the point of total abandonment. You forget that there's a heaven over yonder. And you forget that there's a hell, a bottomless pit. And that drummer just walked you around it in a tighter circle. Until finally, that march of death ends. Drummer first. That's right. The Bible said the devil that deceived them, he's going to be cast into that lake of fire. Then everyone that don't know, whose name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who obeyed not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of them is going to be cast into the lake of fire. But I didn't really realize I was walking this way. Don't tell me that. If this gospel ever crossed your path, you know what to do to be saved. Repent. That means to simply turn around from the sin you're doing. Quit it tonight. Don't do it in stages. Do it tonight. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's water. What doth hinder us to be baptized? And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. If you hear something that's contrary to your flesh, that's the other drummer I'm talking about tonight. He's trying to lead you out of bondage into His marvelous light. Every head bowed, please, for a minute. Don't you feel that spirit tonight? God's touched your life. God's touched your life tonight. You know just as well as I've preached that you're undedicated to God. You're following that other drummer while you maintain that you're following the one that's leading us to life everlasting. I want you to get right tonight, will you? Make your way to this altar. Come to pray.